Standing and turning into our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And Sunday morning, Dr. Walker is going to be sharing with us some best practices of health and wellness for this upcoming flu season. And talking with him today about this. Well, I won't steal his thunder, but you need to be here Sunday morning. And he'll be talking a few minutes before I preach about health and wellness, which is a part of being a steward of what the Lord has blessed us with. And somebody say tomorrow, prayer meeting right here, 7 o'clock. If you can be here, be with us. And when you have it, would you say amen? Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. Somebody say they complained, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Verse 8 says, Jesus is answering and he responds and says, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, just one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me. Somebody say rejoice. For I found the piece which I had lost. She lost it. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. Lost and found. Lost and found. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. I know it's Bible study night. So I was putting this together late the other night because I thought I was going to bed and climbed in the bed and this began to stir my spirit. So I got up and just flowed with it. And Gospel of Luke was written by the beloved physician Luke. Colossians 4 and 14 tells us that Luke, the beloved physician, Luke was the Apostle Paul's good friend, or at least close friend. He traveled with him, and sometimes Luke is referred to as an evangelist. Luke was obviously loyal to the man of God, i.e. the Apostle Paul. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, only Luke is with me, mentions that Luke is with him. And those of you that are enjoy reading your Bible, how many enjoy reading your Bible? Yeah. How many don't enjoy reading your Bible? Yeah. All right. Luke, notice this. Something very, those of you that are students of the Word of God, that there's a similarity to, because Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and he wrote the book of Acts. But you'll notice something, similarity, that it was written to the same person. In Luke chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, specifically, verse 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things wherein that has been instructed. And then you go to the book of Acts, specifically Acts chapter 1. And the scripture says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So I've mentioned it before, but the Gospel of Luke is one of the most comprehensive of the Gospels, of the four Gospels. And particularly, I'm a big advocate of reading or referencing Luke versus the other four Gospels. Not that I prefer, I do prefer Luke in referencing because of the detail of Luke, of his writing. He's very detailed and concise. But I mentioned all that just to tell you that we need the Word of God. And in the Word of God, there are things that, because you don't read the parable of the lost coin in Matthew, Mark, and John. And so we need to understand the totality of the Word of God. And we come to our scripture text tonight, and the Lord has obviously got me down a certain vein in the spirit, and I'm going to do my best tonight to get through this. But lost means having gone astray or missed the way. Lost is absent. Lost is no longer possessed or retained. It's no longer to be found. It's not being used for good purpose. Found is bringing into being. It is having been discovered by chance or unexpectedly. Jesus was teaching, as the scripture says in Luke 15 and 1, then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And then there were complaints. The complaints did not come from the publicans or the sinners. The publicans and the sinners came and said, it says, all came to hear him. But Luke 15 and 2 says, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. It's just like church people to always, well, right? And they came to hear Jesus, but it was the Pharisees and the scribes, those that were religious. They had a form of religion. They were modest. They would do things, as the scripture said, because they have received their reward, and they did it out in the open. And Luke writes and tells us where Jesus makes a statement later on in Luke, or earlier in Luke chapter 5, verse 31 through 32. He says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus says, I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Paul would later on tell us that he is the chief of all sinners. The scripture will tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. First point I want to make tonight is let's not spectate or murmur about the lost. Let's not spectate and murmur about the lost, but rather let's do something about it. Luke 15 and 8, our scripture text says that either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, I'm just going to just break it down into modern times, would have 10 coins. If she would lose one, doesn't light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. The scripture tells us that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to diligently seek the Lord. So has anybody here ever been lost or found or gotten lost on a way somewhere or gotten off track? Now don't raise your hand, men, right? Because we don't want to admit that we've gotten lost going somewhere, but has anybody ever gotten off track? Not just talking about spiritually off track, but how about physically off track? Right? All the heavyweights say amen. How about financially? Have you ever financially gotten off track? You know, when Pastor and Brother Dorazic in January, everybody's on the straight and narrow finances, but maybe March comes around, the income tax check comes, and you're like, well, shopping spree for the wife, you know, and have you ever gotten off track in your relationships? Maybe dating somebody that's goes to church, but not in the church. Gotten off track mentally? You know, you can assume a lot of things about a lot of people. How about you gotten off track emotionally? Have you ever cheated on your diet? You know, you're on a taco diet and you have a torta, right? Have you ever cheated on your diet? Have you ever used your credit card and then only paid the minimum payment? Or ever overdrawn on your bank account? So broke you can't even, your reality check bounced, right? Have you ever had thoughts or ideas or assumed things that were so far from reality? Have you ever had moments of inconsistencies in your emotions? Did you like it when somebody murmured or complained about you, or when they were merciful towards you? Was it more encouraging when people helped you get back up and get you headed back in the same direction, or was it demoralizing when they just walked over you and said, "Oh, you're bad," and just keep moving forward? Is the mindset of we have all fallen and we need somebody to help us up more times than we realize. Because people that are down don't need people to kick them and to tell them that they're down. What they need is someone to be a light that is shining and to keep shining so they can find their way home. Notice this. You can be doing a good work, but your light not be shining. Think about that. You can be doing a good work, but your light not shining. You can be involved in ministry, but not be ministering. Think about that. You can know all the hymns and brag about knowing all the hymns and quote the Bible, but not know Him. Come on, somebody. Matthew 5 and 16 says, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works. So a Pharisee and the scribes murmured because they were religious. We don't read about them doing anything about helping people with a relationship. When was the last time we, myself included, were grieved in our hearts over a backslider or someone in the church that has obviously gotten off track and headed in the wrong direction instead of writing them off? When was the last time, Brother Marquez, we fasted and prayed for someone that God placed on our heart instead of having an attitude and say, well, it's not my problem? How many times have we, myself included, made the comment, somebody needs to do something, and I'm a somebody? Have we considered that maybe we are the light that God has positioned in their path? Have you ever been the lost coin? We've all been associated with things that are lost. We've all been associated, if you've been married for any length of time and been in the car with your husband, you've probably been lost once or twice with your husband because he seems to know where he's going without GPS. But the lady lost something that was valuable. She lost it. Notice what the scripture says in Luke 15 and 9. I have found the peace which I had lost. I lost it. She lost something very valuable. I don't have time to go into what the value and what the lineage was or what it meant with what she had. Maybe it was a dowry and to go on about a family heirloom, or it was a lifetime of savings. She had 10 coins, 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one. What is the math on that? She still had 90%. It's pretty good. Still have 90% of what you lost. We invest in things here in the natural world, in the fleshly world, and we don't get 90% back. Anybody look at your savings account? But she lost something, and it was worth stopping and looking for it. Notice this. It wasn't good enough for her just to know that I lost it, and I lost it in the house. It wasn't good enough to say, well, I know it's in this room, Brother Carlos. I know I lost it, but it's still in the house. How many of you have ever done that? You're looking for a pair of socks, and you know that the dryer ate it, right? So you don't tear it apart. You just say, well, I'll just go to Costco and buy another pack, and we'll deal with it later, right? Or it's under the bed. You find all the socks under the bed for some reason, or you end up with a bunch of mismate socks because the dryer monster garbled it up. But we lose things all the time. She lost something, and it was something valuable. She lost it. It did not lose her. Think about that. Notice the valuable coin was lost by her. There's nothing worse than being lost. There's nothing good in a feeling about being lost. Have you ever been lost anywhere? Out of town or out of the country or at an amusement park? You're legitimately being lost. Lost is a real thing. It happens. In fact, in the retail world and in the security world, we have a term called Code Adam. It started back because of John Walsh's son, Adam Walsh, in Florida. He was actually kidnapped in Florida at a Sears store. And so since then, there's been a phrase. If you go up to most retail stores, they're going to have a blue sticker at the front door. It's going to say Code Adam. And you understand that it's a kid that comes up and says, I can't find my parents or my guardian. Parent is lost. We have the child, but the parent is lost. I don't like to be lost. Anybody like to be lost? Loss can cause emotional distress and fear and panic and anxiety and worry, and it can cause insecurities. But folks are lost because they don't follow directions. They don't listen to the directions, or they don't ask for the directions. Some folks are lost and they're surrounded by help, but they're too prideful to ask for help. Some folks are lost and can be surrounded by people and resources, but they won't take the step to ask for help. Can I tell you, there's folks that are lost, they know that they're lost, but it's shameful sometimes to say, I'm lost. Can you help me? That's one of the biggest things that a backslider deals with is the shame. That I gotta walk back down that same road that I walked so many times from the other point of view. And everybody is probably saying something about me that they should have listened to pastor. They should have not done that. They should have not done this. And it's the shame. As bad as they want to come back and as bad as we want them to come back, they're lost and they need to be found. God help us for us to search and to find and to pray and to have a hunger and a thirst for the lost children and prodigals and the backsliders that are amongst us in the church. There's folks that are backslidden in the church. You're just as lost as somebody out of the church. God, help us tonight to have a hunger and a thirst and a desire to be the light and to look and to search and to help them find their way. Let's not forget what it's like to be lost.
Right.
Let's not forget what it's like to be living in sin. Or worse yet, to be estranged from the Lord. Let's look diligently for the lost. Jesus, I believe he was talking to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. He says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We've all been lost a few times. Second point tonight I want to make is carelessness can cause us to lose things of value. Carelessness, having no care or concern, not paying enough attention to what one does. Notice the definition, not paying enough attention. Notice this. This isn't original, but it's true. You don't always realize what you have till you no longer have it. Sometimes our attitude of carelessness puts us in a position of losing out. The coin was valuable. The coin was worth looking for, but it was still lost. We can have something of value, but not properly care for it. Anybody remember your first car? Anybody proud of your first car? Like you want to have that car again for the rest of your life? Anybody? I pray the Lord answers your prayer with a double portion. Most of us, our first car was, you know, our first car. That we treated that thing like it was the best car in the whole world. Right? You washed the paint off that thing. Shined the bumper. You probably took better care of your first car than you take care of your current car. Right? Some of us haven't washed our car. We washed the first car every day. We as time goes on, we have a tendency to become careless or casual with time. Let's just think about your first day on a new job or your first 30 days on a new job. I mean, 15-minute break, you're like, no, I just need 13 minutes. I'm good. I just need a 30-minute lunch. I don't eat much. I mean, you were conscientious about everything. Who you went to lunch with, what time you clocked in and out, what you wore, your mannerisms, how were you perceived. But as time goes on, you become more careful or careless and casual. I mean, you wouldn't have said anything in a meeting, and now they're like, don't say anything in the meeting. This woman did not have a lax attitude about what she lost. Notice, the first thing she does is she lights a lamp, spending the necessary oil so that she could see clearly. She just doesn't glance. She's just not looking for just a glance. Maybe she gets a broom or a couple brooms and she's searching and she's looking. She's sweeping the house. She's searching carefully. Notice this. There was no indifference. It was diligence. It was looking. I gotta find the coin that I lost. Where some of us would say, well, you know, I still got 90% of what I lost or what I started out with. And that one, it's not really a big deal. I know it's in the room somewhere. I know it's in the garage somewhere. The coin was valuable, but she understood the value of the coin and she looked for it with diligence. Notice this, the coin, brother Mercy, was in a place of familiarity. That's good preaching right there. The coin was lost in a place of comfort, but it was still lost. The coin probably had the image of the ruler imprinted on it. The quarter. Anybody have a quarter? It's got, every quarter has got specific things on it that makes it valuable because of whose image or what it's backed by or what it says on there. Jesus made reference and explained about the value of certain things in its proper place. In fact, it's in Luke 20. Notice this, in 24 and 25, he says, "Show me a penny. Whose image and subscription hath it on it?" They answered and said, "Caesar's." And they said, "Render therefore unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's."
Yeah.
I could preach all day on that just right there. But he said, "And unto the things, unto God, the things which be of God." God created us. I didn't give her the scripture, Genesis 1 and 27. God created man. Created man. Look at that. You're awesome. "In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And then notice, Genesis 2 and 7. And God, he said that God breathed into man, and man, became a living soul. Notice this. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Notice this. When it says that God created man in his own image, when you look at that word image, in the Hebrew, it's only used about maybe 15, 17 times. And what it means is resemblance. We are to resemble the Lord. His imprint ought to be on us. We ought to resemble Him the longer we serve Him. In fact, it's Ephesians 4 and 24. It says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a lot of holiness going on, but is it true holiness? Notice this. We are the children of God. We were formed by Him. He's still working on us. But do we resemble Him? Are we resembling Him? Notice this. Galatians 3 and 26. This is exciting. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Are we wearing holiness and righteousness and love and kindness and mercy? Or are we wearing murmuring and complaining and spectating and the works of the flesh? Galatians 5 and 20, 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We have the imprint. We ought to have the imprint. We ought to be resembling the Lord.
Amen.
The coin was valuable because of what was imprinted on it is what made it valuable. The coin was valuable and was worth something because of what was backing it up. Carelessness has a way of people losing out with God. This lady maybe was careless, but she was trying to find a diligent solution to fix whatever she had lost and to retrieve that. And she wasn't being lazy or status quo or stagnant. She didn't pull back and say, "Well, you know what? It's no big deal." But some folks will pull back because they're hurt or because they've been misinterpreted and say, "Well, you know, the church doesn't have value. That person doesn't have value. My anointing doesn't have value. My ministry involvement obviously doesn't have value." No, it has value. It's just you're dealing with people that are dealing with the flesh, and they need more of God. They need to resemble more of God. So don't murmur, don't spectate, but pray for them and ask God to help them in the use them so that you and they can have value to build up the kingdom.
Right.
Not using what God has entrusted you with is a form of being lost. We sometimes pull back because of lack of understanding from all levels, but there's still value in the lost. The value is still there, but nowhere to be found because of self-isolation or carelessness. When you're careless, you make mistakes. When you're careless, you do not pay attention like you should. That's why most automobile accidents take place within 1 to 2 miles of where you live, a place of familiarity. When you're careless, your awareness level drops and you only hear, see, or think things from a perspective that is selective. When you're careless, you put the voice of the pastor on mute. When you're careless, you don't allow the pastor to pastor you. When you're careless, you won't read your Bible. When you're careless, you won't pray. When you're careless, your worship is hindered. When you're in a state of carelessness, you'll compromise your holiness of dress because of whatever mood that you're in and make comments, well, I don't care. When you're careless, your mindset is limited. It's selfish. It's carnal. It's, can I say, it's narcissistic. It's prideful. It's rebellion. It's stubborn. And I'm coming to a close in a few minutes, but some of us have misplaced or have been out of service in more ways than one. Your anointing's been affected. Your fellowship has been strained. Your unification with God's people has been situational. What's in it for me? Your joy is like a roller coaster. Scripture says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Lord has prodded me tonight to speak to us and remind us that we were not meant to live for God with a careless attitude, but with carefulness. Carefulness is cautious in one's actions. Carefulness is mindful. Carefulness is watchful. When you're careful, you resist the devil, sin, and temptations. When you're careful, you do what Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. Not that temptation is not going to come, but that you don't enter into temptation. When you're careful, you forgive and move forward, not holding a grudge or fault finding. You do, and you understand what Matthew 6:14 says. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, you forgive not. But when you're careful, you're submitted and faithful. Ephesians tells us 5:21. Submitting yourself one to another in the, it says fear, but what that word means, reverence. In the reverence of God. When you're careful, as musicians come, you're aiming to please God. When you're careful, you won't misplace, misuse, or begrudge your walk with God, stewardship, or anointing. Notice this. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. When you're careful, you remember what it's like to be lost, but appreciate being found.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
When you're careful, you remember what it's like to be in need, but have nowhere to turn but to Him. We're such a blessed people tonight. I'm not being rude, and I'm not trying to be cavalier and callous at what I'm saying, but some of us could use a real good dose of humble pie and remember what it's like to want and not be able to have what you want. We are a blessed people. You have no idea how blessed every single one of you are. Just think about that. Just think about how blessed you are. And when you're careful, you extend mercy. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. If you're careful, you won't become careless. The coin was in the house, but it was still lost. You can be in the house of God and be lost. You could be a Sunday school teacher and be lost. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Just as the lost coin bears the image of whatever makes it valuable, you could become careless. And the further you are away or lost from the Lord, the more dusty you become. You ever lose something and you find it and it's like dusty, right? You're just like, well, I'll just throw it away. Right? Lose a coin, it's dusty. The longer something's lost, it begins to fade. You ever lose something? Find it again and dust is wears it off and it takes more time and more effort. We've got a couple things I need to share with you. Just give me 3 more minutes. When somebody's been away from the Lord and has obviously been struggling, rejoice with them when they pray through.
Yeah.
Rejoice with them when they get restored. Celebrate with them when they walk through those back doors or this door here. Don't lean over to somebody and say, oh, I'm going to use Brother Drozik. He's assistant pastor, okay? He was on a vacation on Sunday, but he don't look back and say, oh, guess who came back to church? know. Rejoice and say, it's good to see you. We've missed you. Been praying for you. Somebody, you know, sitting in the same spot you used to sit in, but I'd like you to sit with us. Come on, somebody. You rejoice with them. Don't mumble or murmur or spectate, but rejoice. Say, well, you should have listened. Yeah. I've been telling you that for years. You know, you should have got some crazy medicine, but you wouldn't listen to nobody. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. The problem is some of you are trying to restore people, but you're not spiritual. Paul says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit. You be the first one to hug their neck. High five them. Greet them. Be a supporter of them. In the altar. Stand behind them and pray with them and for them. Invite them to come to the altar with you as we stand tonight. I got a challenge for everyone tonight. How many backsliders do you know? Some of you have got kids that live in your house and they're backslid. Right? They come to church with you, but they're backslid. How many folks do you pass by or interact with that used to come to RT or another Apostolic Pentecostal church? And they're lost and they need to be found again. A challenge for RT. Between now and Sunday, reach out to a backslider. Send them a card. That's reaching out. Invite them back to the house of God. Send them a card and tell them that we love you, we miss you. Put a $5 Starbucks card in there and send a $10 one to me. Right? Offer to pick them up. Send them some peanut brittle. Cover them in prayer. How many of you have backslidden kids that live in the area? Look around you. Raise your hand. Look around you. No, you're not looking around. Look around. Raise your hand high. Why don't you go and say, you know what, you call my kids, and I'm going to call your kids. Encourage a new convert. Reach out to the new people that have transferred from other churches to RT. Love one another. Hebrews tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some has been exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Encourage one another. Because I've been lost and I thought I knew where I was going. I was pretty sure about it. No, I know where I'm going. Relax. And then 2 hours later, we're lost. You can be lost in the house of God. How many are hearing what Pastor's saying tonight? Why don't we do that this week? Why don't we reach out to somebody? You know, if there's folks amongst us that are struggling, they don't need us to go up to them and say, I notice you've been struggling. Say, I'm praying for you. Call me. I'll pray with you. We've all been lost, but we've been found. Can we find a place to pray? Would you come to the altar tonight together as a church family? And let's pray together for the lost, for ourselves, for above. I must be saved. I'm together. Let's pray all around the sanctuary. Those in the altar, those in the pews. Let's talk to the Lord together. It's Lord.